What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hi there, folks, and welcome back to Guilds and Goblins, the What If World show,
where your questions and ideas combine with our real-life, in-the-moment dice rolling
to bring you off-the-cuff adventures.
I'm Papaloo, your guild master, joined by my players, Scully the Squid.
That's me, but my character's name is Penny Pasta. They are a pasta puss. And an Italian chef who's made out of wiggly pasta and also makes a wiggly pasta, but it's not weird.
And I'm Zach Jamaloo, Papaloo's son. But my character's name is Scribnoo the Doodle Knight. I am made of doodles, and I also doodle on myself. But it's not weird.
The fact that you both say it's not weird kinda makes it weirder. But anyway, I'm Lola Rabbit, and my character's name is Amara Stormtide. She's an ocean dragon, and also a detective. She's got storm magic from being a dragon, and also some cool detective powers that you might see at play in the adventure.
Well, that's right, kiddos, and you've all been using the basic rules, now adding odds and heart and hurt. The game's still quite simple, but if you're feeling a little confused, you can go back and listen to Cryptid Kids number 1.
Guilds and Goblins Returns. It aired on September 9th, 2024.
And it'll introduce you to the current campaign.
But why don't we give it a quick recap anyway?
We're the Cryptid Kids. And we live in the city of Spookensburg, where we do our part by humanely capturing monsters.
Only there have been a lot more monsters recently, and we discovered they were being made by a monster machine
in the kitchen of a mostly abandoned building.
But at the top of that building, the children met Bro-Nana, a wealthy inventor and banana person who invented the monster machine to sell monsters.
And what's worse, they just made a monster machine 2.0 to create even bigger, more expensive monsters.
Unfortunately, we were not able to stop them because we got distracted by Mr. Eric, who was saying a lot of silly words.
Okay, please don't pin this on the narrator. I'm barely in Guilds and Goblins.
Well, whether it was all Mr. Eric's fault, or only mostly his fault, we found ourselves running away from a horde of chickens, ghosts, tapshoe-wearing centipedes, and many other bug monsters.
The Cryptid Kids got back to the elevator at the very top floor of this old building, but they haven't quite escaped yet. And that's where our adventure will resume. And I used 2 what-if questions to help plan this adventure. Let's listen to the first one from Ethan.
Hi, my name is Ethan. I really like a nature. And my question is, what if science were portals to another land?
What if signs were portals to another land? Oh, sounds like things are gonna get weird.
And just for fun, we're gonna include another question from Ethan's sister, Carrie.
My name is Carrie, and I really like them to be a boy. And what if trees can turn into gnats?
That was Carrie. She really likes watching her show. And her what if question was, what if trees could turn into maps?
A big thanks to Carrie's grown-up for repeating that question. Now let's find out. What if signs were portals to another land? And what if trees could turn into maps?
Our adventure begins after a quick break.
As the elevator doors close, little monster bug legs try to squeeze through, but you start sliding down too quickly.
Thank goodness.
Except then you hear...
Banana arms!
Ronana above you seems to be opening the outer elevator doors, and...
Ronana jump!
Lands on top of your elevator car, which gives a shake and a jolt before... A bunch of chickens and ghosts and bugs start landing on top of the elevator too.
Just let me in there so I can win,
says Bronana. What do you all do?
I just press the elevator for the nearest floor so we can get off right away.
When you look at the elevator buttons, they appear different from the ones you saw only moments before. Where there were once numbers, there are now signs. 10 different signs, but each written in a strange language of runes and symbols you can't understand.
Must be the what if question, changing the world right in front of us.
Oh yeah, Monster Machine 2.0 is powered by what if questions.
Well, since I don't know what any of the signs say, I'm just gonna push a button at random.
There are 10 buttons, so roll a d10.
I rolled a 10!
Maybe that's the top floor, or the best one. Ding dong!
With a chime, the sign in front of you seems to blur and shift until it reads, Neo York. As the elevator doors open, you stare out at a city very different from Spookensburg. Skyscrapers climb into the air, grown over with glowing fungus. And neon pods float around this cityscape, lighting up the night sky and the path in front of you.
Oh, what happened?
Says Bronana, as robo-chickens and robo-ghosts and even a robo-tap-dancing caterpillar skitter off of the elevator and chase these glowing neon pods into Neo York.
No, wait! You're my minions! You're supposed to help me win!
It seems the elevator has turned into some kind of magical portal. And now you've lost control of your monsters.
Oh, that's what I get for buying a haunted hotel.
Why would you want to live in a haunted hotel?
So no one would peek at my experiments.
Plus, there's just, like, a lot of really affordable haunted real estate in Spookensburg.
Oh, yes. I considered renting an office owned by zombie peanuts, but I'm allergic.
You notice that the elevator started to transform around you. The floor becoming roots. The walls curling back into a great trunk. And the ceiling reaching up as tall as tree branches. Because it is a tree.
Elevator tree, I like it.
As the tree continues to grow and unfurl, its branches stretch out like a city street map, and a dotted line of neon fungus grows from the bottom of the trunk, up and along one branch, as if showing a path through the city.
I imagine that is our way home.
Or at least back to the spooky hotel that we can't escape.
Then I'm gonna get there first!
And Bronana takes off at surprising speed, half running, half sliding, on small but powerful banana legs and a frictionless banana peel body. What do you do?
Go ahead, you two. I shall sketch a duplicate of the map in case we get lost.
Okay, Scribno. As an artist, you don't have to roll for that. Now, Amara and Penny Pasta, what do you do?
I'm gonna try to see if I can ride on one of these little neon fungus pads.
Roll there.
That's a 10.
The squishy, glowing pod of fungus slash robotic parts doesn't move all that fast. But it's very cute, and you won't have to use your wings now, which tires you out quickly.
We're in a futuristic city, so are there any of those like a rental scooters but more high-tech, like a hoverboard?
Yes, not too far ahead you see a green rental hoverboard, but you'll have to get creative to figure out how to use it.
Then I'll roll a learn. That's a 3.
Beep-a-boom. You think you could jumpstart this thing with a jolt of spaghetti sauce power, but since you just used your spaghetti sauce ink, it would cause one hurt.
Okay, I'll do it. We kinda let a banana get there first.
The hoverboards run on compostable sauces, and you blast forward at high speeds. But now three fungal pods fly towards you.
High speed chases are against the law in
New York.
Please pull over.
I'm out of storm tides. I'm gonna make a cloud of mist with the ocean dragon storm powers.
Roll learn to identify the weather patterns of this new world.
That, my dear Guildmaster, is a natural 20.
You'll realize all the fungus in this land thrives on moisture and mist, and you're able to make a thick wall with just a little tunnel for you and your friends to start pulling ahead.
Have I finished copying the map?
You have. Now how are you going to catch up?
I will draw rocket boosters on my feet and blast off.
Roll there to try to steer carefully.
That is an 18 plus 2.
18 plus 2 is...
an unnatural 20.
You're able to blast off through Amara's tunnel, which is surrounded by mist, quickly catching up with your friends while not smashing into anything with your pretty unsafe rocket ship boots.
Yes, don't try this at home, only in other dimensions.
But Bro-Nana can hear the loud sound of your boots. And suddenly, three strips of giant banana peel flail blindly into the mist, reaching out for each of you. What do you do?
Could I blow them away with the puff of air?
Roll there.
A 17.
I shall try to zoom out of the way.
I dare ya.
Ooh, 3 plus 3. Could I use a heart to reroll?
But you're only one for this adventure.
All right. Ha! 18 plus 3 equals 21.
The black scribbly line of rocket ship fire coming out of your boots sputters out briefly, but you quickly redraw it with your magic pencil, zooming out of the banana peel's way at the last moment.
Penny Pasta, we'll try to release a little noodle monster to wrestle back the third banana peel.
Roll dare for your noodler.
Whew, that's a 19.
Okay, you kids are rolling too good today, but yes. Your noodler tangles up with the third bit of banana peel, and the three of you reach the elevator. You see that a few robo-chickens and robo-ghosts and the Catapede bot hustled straight here, while a few others have gone off to play in the city of New York. The elevator door starts to slide closed.
Oh, I'll hold it open with my pastapus arms.
Penny Pasta, what are you doing?
Ah, yes. We need Bro-Nana to shut down the machines if we ever get back home.
That's not why I did it. And I reach out one of my other 8 pastapus arms for Bro-Nana.
Oh, I think I gotta do more cardio. Could there be such a thing as lifting too many weights?
You're welcome, Bro-Nana.
Whatever. You just need me to turn off my monster machines.
I'm gonna press another one of these buttons.
Okay, I'll roll a d10 again, but re-roll it if you get a 10.
A 7.
Boom, boom.
As the elevator begins to rapidly move, the little chickens start to change into little dinosaurs. And the robo-ghosts morph into shambling zombie knights in rusty armor. And the Catapede gets a little bit larger and more ferocious, while the whole elevator grows to accommodate these morphing creatures. And the sign shifts to read Mount Drakenward, a location suggested by Rosalie on Spotify.
Thanks, Rosalie!
The elevator's doors have turned to stone, and they grind open more than slide, revealing a great cave illuminated by magic glowing crystals along its length.
Okay, like, I know we're in a race to get back to the hotel, but unpeeling my banana and running really wore me out.
Oh yeah, let's all rest and have a nice pasta dish.
I will scribble up a salad for some extra roughage.
Oh, Mara Stormtide loves naps. She curls up and goes to sleep.
You all heal from all your hurt? And you gain a level! Now you're level 2!
Level 2!
Alright!
Woohoo!
I told you to pick out your new abilities in between games, and you can reveal them if presented the opportunity. Now I want each of you to roll Wonder.
That is a 4.
That's a natural 1.
And that's a 2.
Everybody's luck runs out sometime. When you awake, there's no sign of Bro Nana.
That double-crossing dishonest.
I look to see if there's another tree map.
Yes, your elevator shifted in to a large tree-like plant of roots and stone, displaying a map through the dungeon, with your path, or Bro Nana's, illuminated by tiny glowing shards of crystal.
Then this is just the chance I need to show off my cool new power.
Oh, I love leveling up.
Penny Pasta is gonna unbutton her chef's jacket and grow into a colossal pastapus for just a few minutes.
As a gargantuan glutinous creature, you're able to move quickly while Scribno and Amara ride atop you.
And I direct them through the twisting dungeon by making another copy of the map.
The map showed that your destination was a large treasure room. And as you draw near to it, you hear...
How dare you try to steal from Monster Max?
The distant rumbling of some colossal creature.
Okay.
From one rich dude who's really muscly to another.
I'm not trying to steal. I just need to, scoot by you for a minute and get in that little stone box.
But this is my treasure box. It can take me anywhere so that I can gather more treasure.
You see, a massive, golden-scaled dragon guards a treasure room piled high with coins and jewels and shiny things. A handful of it would be enough to pay your rent in Spookensburg for a year. A few of the zombie and skeletal knights and little baby dragon chickens on the more ferocious catapede are gathered around what looks like a giant treasure chest, which is firmly locked.
Since I'm still a big monster, I'm gonna step up and say, hey, wait a minute. You can't eat that banana. I'm gonna eat that banana.
I did not say I was going to eat him, although I did think it.
How about I make you some of my gnocchi carbonara? Then I just scoop up that annoying little banana person and take him back to my world.
You can roll Wonder. And I'll make it an easy roll, since it's a very clever and convincing story.
Hee-hoo, an 8 and a 12. I take the 12, I add a plus 1.
Yes, we may eat together, but that does not mean you can step through my magic portal.
I shall try to turn sideways so that my two-dimensional form cannot be seen by the dragon.
And I'll use my new burglar skills to sneak from treasure pile to treasure pile.
But are you going to try to steal any treasure?
As much as I want to, it seems like a bad idea, so no.
Then you two can make a team dare roll and add the better odds.
9 plus 4, though.
Let me see what I get.
An 18!
Plus 4 equals 22. You sneak around while the dragon gorges himself on gnocchi carbonara.
And now I shall try to erase the lock with the eraser part of my magic pencil.
And if that doesn't work, I try to pick the lock on the treasure chest with my burglar skills.
Okay, another team roll. Well, this one will be learn to figure out how this lock works or how your new eraser magic works.
Ah, that's a 2.
Hey,
28, that's a natural 1 plus 3.
Your almost perfect plan starts to fall apart. As the last few bites of gnocchi get gobbled up, Penny Pasta begins shrinking back to her normal size.
What sort of magic is this?
And the dragon hears you two fumbling with the lock on the treasure chest.
Burglars! I am always hungry for a burglar.
Oh yeah, so why don't you just eat the three of them and then let me go?
The dragon takes a deep breath in, sucking up golden coins as smoke starts to rise from his nostrils and the gold in his mouth begins to melt. Then he breathes out a river of molten metal. What do you do?
I shall draw myself a shield and use it to lift up the lock, hoping that it will melt under the dragon's breath while I shall remain safe. Ish.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to hide under that same shield, but I'll gather up all the water I can in the room and add that water to the shield to try to keep Ush from melting.
I'm gonna try to grab a banana and roll away.
Penny Pasta rolled there.
A natural 20!
He was about to be Bro-Nana Flambe, but you grab him out of the way at the last second and roll towards the treasure chest, like a meatball wrapped in spaghetti noodles. Scribno and Amara, you can make a team wonder roll to see how much of the dragon's breath you can protect yourselves from.
Ish an 11? Oh, that's a 19?
This would have been an instant stun, but the two of you take 2 hurt instead of 3, as the steam and heat of molten gold scorches the air around you without quite touching your bodies. And the metal on the lock melts away, and Penny Pasta rolls you up in her pasta ball as you tumble into the treasure chest and see that one more sign has revealed itself. It looks like a picture of a spooky hallway, and it reads, Haunted Hotel.
Where are you going? You better not have taken my treasure!
I push the button for the Haunted Hotel!
The top of the treasure chest swings shut, and the velvet-lined bottom turns back into the red carpet of the hotel's elevator.
Bing, bong!
You're back in the lobby of the old abandoned hotel room, except it's not so abandoned anymore. A few of the ghosts and chickens and the catapede have returned to normal and crawl out of the elevator with you.
Hey, can you let me out of your pasta noodles, please?
Says Bro Nana in a muffled voice.
Oh, sorry.
You could have got really hurt trying to save me. Why'd you do that?
Because we need you to turn off the monster machines.
That's not the way I saved them.
Oh, for money then. Let me get my checkbook.
I was in a position to help, so I did. That's what a helper does.
But that's not how you make a lot of money.
Well, if you have not noticed, we do not have a lot of money.
But we still try to do the right thing whenever we can.
And I lost sight of that today. Not very knightly of me. Thank you, Penny Pasta.
I'm just glad we all made it back safely.
Sounds like we need a group hug.
No, okay, I don't want a hug because I'm already too overwhelmed by confusing feelings. Here, take the keys to the monster machines before I change my mind.
You are being a good helper, Bro Nana.
Oh, don't remind me. I still don't know how you're gonna get rid of all the monsters all around the city and beyond. But this is something I can do to help.
And once you have the keys to the monster machines, the monsters don't seem to want to bother you. And you're able to let each machine rest.
But don't we have to take the elevator to get back to the penthouse?
Indeed you do. And now you see that on one side are the normal floor numbers, but on the other, the Haunted Hotel's sign portals still await you, should you wish to use them to travel someplace new on your next adventure.
Great adventure, Dad!
Yeah, thanks, Papaloo.
Man, you left it open to so many future adventures.
Oh, that was fun, but I'm kinda glad it's over. Oh, Mr. Eric, could you do the outro? I need to have a club soda.
Folks at home, what are some imaginary places you can make up
that this haunted elevator could go to. Would you have helped Bro Nana or done anything differently in Neo York or Mount Drakenward? I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, my producer, Miss Lynn, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who make this world a better place, one little kindness at a time. And until we adventure again, keep wondering.
National Children's Arts Network is community funded, supported by listeners like you, and by a grant from the Joyce N. Furman Memorial Trust, celebrating a lifetime of giving to children, education, and the arts.